Well, good morning and welcome to Last Man Podcast. I think we've been around since 2019. The first podcast was Truth Ain't Dead. And 5 years ago to the day, and thousands of podcasts, many of them deleted, some of them banned. And eventually, there is always a last man standing, and there's always a first man out the gate in a race. We weren't the first out the gate, but we may be the last one to leave. I believe that the podcasts have covered just about every relevant subject of humanity that you could think of. And in the last 3 years, I brought on my partner, Guy Cohen, to join me. And as you have seen, the podcast has increased exponentially since his addition to it. And so we're grateful that we were able for 3 years to have Guy Cohen a part of the podcast to increase our reach and our audience throughout the world and throughout the different types of people who may not like exactly the way I said something, but like the way he says it. So we've come to the conclusion that I believe that it's time to end the podcast for an sundry of reasons, not the least of it being the switch in Spotify to this godless program platform called Riverside. And I think I've just about had enough of the changes. You join other people's worlds and you are subject to their rules, their laws, and everything else that comes in between. So you walk in a man's house to use his oven to cook and bake your bread. Remember, you're in his house using his oven. At any point, he can put on a strip show or a seance or anything else, and you have to make a decision. Do you want to continue to stay there? Or he may sell the house to someone wickeder than you, than he is. And then you end up doing one of two things: staying in that house to use the oven under the new owner, or saying, I've had enough. Now that they're hanging the rainbow flag over that house, I'm not coming in that house to use the oven to bake my bread. Goodbye. And you accept the consequences, whatever that is. So your audience shrinks. So what? What matters? Your character, not the audience. So you're making less money. So what? How many of you will switch jobs to make less money in order to keep your character intact or to protect yourself from overexposure to wickedness that might weaken your moral resolve? Oh no, you'll throw your morality under the bus before you ever throw your job under the bus. You'll sacrifice your character, you'll sacrifice your temptation to make more money. That's how you think. But what a credit, what a wonderful credit to hear of an individual who decided to take less pay to move into a less popular place in order to protect their morality, which is of priceless value, to protect their children. No, you won't be able to surf and get in the water, you watermen that worship the sea, while you destroy your own soul and spirits. For popularity, because your wife won't be able to go to her tea parties with her girlfriends. You sacrifice the wrong thing and then wonder why you have the results you have, because you sacrifice the wrong things. So goodbye, Spotify, you godless platform. I've had enough. I've served my purpose. God will do something else elsewhere. Sometimes he allows us in these spheres of the world's platforms, but for a moment. But we should always be careful who we partner with, who we marry, who we decide to go work for, or to go into business with. Most of you are not careful. You don't care. You didn't really care to look into what that company supports. You like the salary they were offering you. But that's who you are. Don't worry. Can't change who you are. That's who you are. Because if you weren't that, you would have looked into it. You would have said no. You would not have bought that expensive car or moved in that so-called pristine elite neighborhood. I get it. And I understand it. But enough. And I believe that some of the platform podcasts will be still visible to you. We will no longer be using it. The Last Man Platform Spotify connection. When it comes to this podcast, time's up. But we do want to leave you with one parting podcast. I'm sure all of you have heard, or most of you, some of you have heard of the Dune 2 movie. And if you've heard of the Dune 2 movie, I suggest you Google John MacArthur message on Islam and the Mahdi, M-A-D-H-I, the Mahdi, the 12th Iman, to understand what Dune 2 is about. It's about the things that many of us seldom think about. Islam, the Muslim, and the role the Muslim has played. You know, God's will be done. God uses evil. God will use your enemy like a whipping branch against us when we are disobedient, as a sign, just as Israel was chosen to be a sign of what it looks like to be God's people. They were chosen as a sign to look like what it's like to not be, but yet still used by God. Everyone is God's pawn. No matter which side of the chessboard you're on, you all are on his platform. The board is being used by both opponents that are playing chess. So I guess the board is the master of the game. The architect is God, and he's the master of the game, of all the pieces, and each one playing whatever side you're playing on. Papa's behind it all. So if you want to know who the real Illuminati is, who the real conspiracist is, well, it's God, Hashem Adonai Elohim. He controls it all. He's not sweating what the left or right are doing, what the wrong or right are doing, what the good, bad, or ugly are doing. He's in charge. He's not surprised by any of our actions. You can't thwart his plans. You can't obfuscate his order. You can't throw chaos into what he has deemed and destined. The rock falls on you. So, that being said, something to bake your noodle, and this one will.
Yep. And speaking of noodle, you know, the Muslims, the Chinese, the Asians, the Eastern people, if you are not buried with your head inside of your Facebook, but put your face in God's book, it's not so hard to see. The Lord lays it out in the open. The war, the separation, East versus West. The Muslim, extremist, conservative, anti-LGBTQRSEUVIEB, and the rest of you nuts out in the West, protesting against what is good while protecting what is evil. So, are the Muslims right? No. But it makes no difference because, like Stephen said, God will use your enemies to whip you when you are out of line. Don't worry. Once the branch has been used to whip you, he will break the branch. We know that. Revelation, right? Ezekiel 38, I believe. Gog and Magog. Don't worry. The fire will come on them, but not before God is done using them against you, godless, Christians, godless Jews. Judgment always begins in the house of God. Everybody wants to see their enemies destroyed, but that's not how it happens. Look at your history. You do not have to assume, you know. History tells us of the future. Look at what happens with Babel. Look at what happens with Assyria, with Egypt. Were not the Israelites tormented, enslaved, tortured for hundreds of years by the Egyptians until God has had enough and he brought judgment on Egypt? And when he did so, remember also that it was not really for Israel's sake as much as it was for the Lord's own glory. As he said, I will be glorified on behalf of Pharaoh, which is why he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Remember that, because this is very important for your understanding of who God is. God is not about you. God is about himself, because he is, period. And he is all that there is. He is the first, he is the last. He is the only one. There is none beside him, none before him, none after him. He is the kid with the toys. We are the toys. Every single one of us, toy soldiers. The whole universe, his sandbox. It is just him, and he's having fun. We talked about this between the two of us when you play a game and you can choose the level of difficulty. Easy, medium, hard, extremely hard. See, when you're good at something, it gets boring. Make it harder. Make it more challenging. More fun. See, God is not looking for the path of least resistance. No. He's looking for the path of most resistance. Which is why, pay attention, all of you, why is there evil in the world? Which is why God allows evil in the world. Because there is nothing greater than him, and there is nothing that can obscure his plans and get in the way of what he wishes to accomplish. So because it is all about his glory, he allows for the worst case scenario to appear, because he still is greater than that. Go ahead, Christians, pervert his Shabbos. Go ahead, Jews, pervert his Torah. Go ahead, Muslims, believe in Allah and Mahmud and Ahmed and Bahmed. It does not matter, because God knows the end from the beginning, and everything is ordained by him. He is in absolute control, and he is not looking for everyone. All he wants is a remnant. All he wants is the kind. Remember Noah? Two of every kind. Not every animal. Out of God knows how many people were alive at the days of the flood, millions, if not billions. Just one man found grace. And out of God's grace, he also got to save his family. 8 people out of the entire human race. And what do you think he's gonna do this time? Did he not choose Israel because they were the least? So that through them they will represent mankind? By living according to his laws, to returning to being God kind? And we know that in the last days all Israel will be saved. Well, what does that mean? Not every man and woman in Israel, but a representation. 12,000 from each tribe. Might sound like a lot, but then you realize there are 8 billion people alive today. And most will simply not make it. And God is not planning on you to make it. He does not need you, and he does not want you. We said it before. Jesus didn't die for you. He died for himself, for his name's sake, because he made you. You are his property. The kind. The only creature created in the image of the Creator. And when it comes to God's glory, nothing can pervert his plan. He made us to love us and to have us as his bride. Yet, it's not about the bride, it's about the groom who created the bride and therefore chose to protect and deliver the bride and keep the God kind, alive. Not every individual, but the kind, which is the God kind, not man in his wickedness.
And think about it. You said kind. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, which kind are we? Which kind am I? Which kind are you? Now. You don't really have to ask yourself that question, do we? Now, we can play that game, but why play it? Look in the mirror. You know exactly what kind you are. Don't play that game with me. You know who you are, you stingy bastard. You know who you are, you worldly man, you athletic adrenaline junkie. You know who you are, you drunk. Don't play that game with me. Why lie to yourself when it's clear who you are? The kind you are, why do you matter? Why do you care what I think? You know exactly who you are, what's going on between those two floppy ears of yours. And at the end of the day, you hate God. Or you brag about going down the diamond slopes on your snowboard, so you're looking for the extremely hard. And you know why? You don't go and tell everybody you climbed Bunker Hill, but you climbed the Himalayas. And you want everybody to know. You don't want to tell them that you went into the pool. You want to tell them you went into a 50-foot wave. You love bragging about something that so few can do. You love bragging about the fact that you could have died in your squirrel suit. You love bragging about the fact that you faced a 12-foot, 15-foot tall grizzly. You went on a safari, found a sick lion to kill, because you really can't face the lion on equal ground, can you? You love bragging about that speed record, what you did on a broken ankle. You love that because there's nothing to brag about something easy. Hey, I climbed a step. No, I climbed the impossible steps. You love bragging about that. I sailed across the ocean in a canoe, not in a yacht. No one's going to give you credit for that. A cruise ship. No one's going to give you credit for that. You went on a boogie board and took down a 40-foot wave at the Wedge. And you lived to tell the story. So you love talking about how you went the hard way. I came up. I pulled myself in my bootstraps. I had nothing. Blah, 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 blah. What you did, you brag about it. Yet, when God tells you the road isn't easy, that's the road you run from, because it gives him the glory and not you. David said, by God was I able to run through the troop and leap over the walls. Zerubbabel said, not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. See, you don't get to pat yourself on the back about how smart you are. I'm the deal maker. So says the president of the real estate company who's Jewish. I'm the deal maker, you fool. Except the Lord build the house, they that build a build in vain. But you rob God of his glory. That's why you're at the gym to get a bigger ass or a bigger bicep. That's why you're bleaching and dyeing your hair, cutting, piercing, and tattooing. That's why you got 10-foot eyelashes dangling and glossy red prostitute lipstick to glorify yourself in the worst part, only to disclose to the entire world what a real whore you are. But you don't mind because the world glorifies the whore, glorifies the man in his tight jeans and his Ferrari, BMW, Mercedes, or his Tesla. You love that image. Being associated with a man who designs a car hooked on ketamine and mushrooms and psychedelics, you brag about it. Being associated with it. because you are what you are, and you're going in the fire, and you know who he's going to use for that, to pick you up and toss you in. Read Habakkuk. He's going to use the Muslim. Oh, yes, the Muslim. God's handy little hitman is always waiting somewhere in the corners for their orders to attack the wickedness of this world. And they will be the last ones destroyed by God himself. They've got part of it right. They are going to come and rise into power as a testimony against those of us who have violated God's Torah. Judgment's coming. God doesn't just use earthquakes, volcanoes, tectonic plate shifts, flood, bugs, flies, viruses, wild beasts. Oh, no. He uses the sword as well, yielded and wielded by the hands of empires and nations far more nefarious than yourselves, to bring judgment. Release the Kraken. No, release the Muslim. And they know that they are going to play a role. They don't have any clear idea about how it ends because they get their butts kicked. But for the moment that they're used, like Pharaoh's heart being hardened, like Cyrus in Isaiah, such in Nebuchadnezzar, such is the case with the Muslim. Look at the world. Isn't it being Islamicized? England no longer looks like England. It's not gonna stand. Go to Michigan where they play the Muslim prayer. They become a testimony against us. So the executioner takes you out, and then God takes out the executioner.
Nothing is too small for God to use, and nothing is too big. Whether a mosquito, an ant, a Muslim, a hedgehog, or an earthquake. Judgment is coming. And the whole purpose of prophecy is not to tell you exactly how it's coming or when it's coming, but to give you the understanding that God is the one that brings it on your head. So that you never can point to one thing and say, this is why we suffer. No. The one thing that makes you suffer is not the Muslims, it's not the technology, it's not the climate change. It's not any of these things. It's your sins and rebellion against the Lord, the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. Everything is a weapon at His disposal. He can use oxygen against you, water against you. So why does He choose the Muslim? Because, well, why not? All of us, I should say most of us, like watching movies. And we all know that the best movies always have a grand finale. There has to be that grand, big battle at the end, right? You watch all of those Harry Potter movies and Lord of the Rings, there's always the big battle, the big showdown, the grand finale, V for Vendetta, the music. Where do you think we get that from? God. So it's gonna be magnificent, really. It's going to be a piece of art, a piece of work. Unfortunately for you, it's going to be a bloody piece of work. And most will not live to see it. Because the Muslims aren't coming to play with you. The Muslims are not Christians. They're not coming to talk to you and to invite you to have communion with them. No, they're coming to cut your head off. They're Muslims. ISIS, you know what they do. Just look at what Hamas did. We said this before, Hamas was the beginning of trouble. Why don't you get this? Think of when Hamas performed their assault on Israel. October 7th, which was the day of Shmini Atzeret, the 8th day assembly, also known today as Simchat Torah, the day when they celebrate the Torah and dance around in circles, the Hakafot, celebrating the completion of the annual reading of the book of the Torah while starting to read it again, in a new cycle. Dancing around the Torah. the 22 of the 7th month, 22nd day, which is 50 years exactly after the Yom Kippur War that happened on Saturday, October 6. Now Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the 7th month in the Hebrew calendar. Think about it. 50 years prior, Yom Kippur War on Shabbat, Saturday, 10-7. 50 years later, on Shabbat, Saturday, 7-10. The same exact thing, except now it happened at the 8th day assembly, which represent new beginnings. After the 7th day of creations, new beginning. The 7th millennial, new beginning. And remember, they came to this party in the desert, where a bunch of Jews were celebrating and dancing around a statue of a pagan idol who is no god at all, much like they did 3,500 years ago, dancing around that golden calf. And what happened? Hamas came and slaughtered them. Because unlike you Jews and Christians, the Muslims do not put up with idols, with pagan statues, with images, and they don't put up with your homosexuality, sexual immorality, and all that other mess, LGBTQ, that you love to boast about. And by the way, if that's not enough for you, do you remember Hitler? The Holocaust? Do you know when he planned his attack on the Jews? April 1st, 1933. About the exact same time as someone else thousands of years ago by the name of Haman, the wicked one from Persia, as written in the book of Esther, who planned his schemes in the month of Nisan, which falls exactly on the same time as Hitler's scheme. Which, of course, that one didn't come to pass, because the Jews repented, fasted, prayed, they had an intercessor by the name of Queen Esther. Not so much in the days of the Holocaust. Many Jews, still to this day, denying God, blaming God, hating God for the judgment that came over their head by their own wickedness. But the cycle continues. If you have eyes to see, then you can see. If you have ears to hear, you can hear. If you have a heart to receive, you can understand. This happened before, and it will happen again. Get ready.
You see it played over and over and over again. It's called a principle of reciprocity in cycles. We know every year there's summer, winter, spring, and fall. And there are cycles in prophecy, cycles in judgment that work the same way. So don't be surprised, beloved, when you see these things. Rejoice. And know that the end is near. In the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, haters of God. They will consider good evil and evil good. And you will see it amongst your own tribesmen. After all, who is my neighbor is referring to those in your tribe. You will see that a prophet is without honor amongst his own kin. Don't worry about what the enemy is going to do. They were ready to kill Moses. They were ready to say, take that prophet and throw him in a jail. Hold him until I come back from battle. Everybody but David, who did not kill the prophets. I don't want to hear him. He never has anything good to say. Well, you've all said that about me. You complain when I do give you a message. You attack the messenger. When you hear a message, you get offended. He's talking about me. You sound like snakes and demons, because that's who you are. No more podcasts. You don't get the right to disrespect and dishonor God, then ask him to come back and give you a second chance to honor and respect him. Your judgment is nigh. You've made a mockery of God's messengers. You made a mockery of his message. You made a mockery indirectly of him when you've done it to them that he has sent to you. You've promoted evil. You were arrogant with pride as your necklace. You refuse to humble. You resist even when you obey. And so, thank you for not listening to the podcast. I appreciate that. Thank you for not being faithful. I appreciate that. I can see what the Hebrew people did to the God of creation. I can see what many did to the prophet that was sent to them that fulfilled the Torah, Yeshua, the redeeming Lamb of God. I can see what you did to Jesus. Of course you would do that to me and Guy. You stoned the prophets. You killed them, Jesus said. What will you do to me? See, one of the things that we have not forgotten is that we already expected that of you. For the Lord prophesied what you would do to those that bring you the truth and how you would treat us, how you would support with your pennies or not support at all, how you would take credit for what you do, how you would never give all of you to the Lord, just a part of you, enough to appease your own conscience while you still pursued your own dreams and ambitions, and then complained about the world. Enough has been said. Enough, and so much has been said, you can meditate on 1/8 of it, and it would get you through your life, but you don't even do that. You just constantly think you need to read more. You don't even practice the little that you know to do. Those with less did more. You with so much more do so much less as a testimony against you. Sodom and Gomorrah will rise up as a testimony against you, this generation, wicked and perverse generation, with all of your worship songs and singing, all of your YouTube messages and preachers, all your books and reading. Ah, and you've become more useless than any of them who ever had any part of what you have. It's called domestication. Now the computers and the technology do for you what you cannot do for yourself, which means you do nothing. Now what is your organic and natural self can't even walk by itself, can't meditate and pray at home when they shut you down at COVID and complain that you can't run into a building. What are you, a Hindu? Since when it can't run into the building, you can't pray at home? You can't pray in a dungeon? Daniel did. Peter did. Jeremiah did. David did. But you can't pray in a dungeon? Ah, don't worry. You won't be praying to the dungeon he's sending you. And the good news, this is the last podcast. Goodbye.